Hope everybody is doing well. So we have one of the most fascinating Mishnahs, I think, in the entire Masechta. So we've been talking about how there's many different times to read the Megillah, primarily the 14th for the open cities and 15th for the walled cities. And as we said at the beginning of the Masechta, Bismanihem, Zmano Shalzeh, Lo Zmano Shalzeh, that these are really two different times. But you have a world of travel. And the question is, let's say you have somebody who lives in Yerushalayim, they read on the 15th, and they go to a place where they read on the 14th, they go to Tel Aviv or vice versa. So what establishes somebody as a resident of that city for purposes of Mikra Megillah? So this is like a general question in life and a general question in halacha is how do you establish residency somewhere? So generally speaking in halacha, to make a very long story short, it usually takes 12 months to establish yourself as a resident of a city with all of the privileges and responsibilities attendant therein. Meaning that you'd have to pay certain taxes to the city, but you'd be the beneficiary of social welfare programs that exist in the city. But already in the Middle Ages, the Smak has a shita that we follow, that it really is 30 days. Because already in the times of the Smak, the 13th century, Rabbi Yitzchak of Kurvil, people were much more mobile. Sometimes Jews were mobile against their will. They were being expelled from place to place. So you couldn't have Jews who were expelled from France, and they go live somewhere else, and they're not eligible for things like Maos Chitim. They're not eligible to receive social welfare. Oh, you haven't been here for 12 months. Oh, thank you very much. I got expelled 6 weeks ago. So again, you know, there's principles in halacha about how you establish residence. But there is a din prati. There's a special din when it comes to Mikra Megillah, based on a pasuk in the Megillah itself. The pasuk says, Al kein ha-yehudim ha-prazim, the Jews of the open cities, ha-yoshvim ba-rei ha-prazos, who live in the open cities. Wait a second, Al kein ha-yehudim ha-prazim would have been enough. So the Gemara explains, ha-yoshvim ba-rei ha-prazos, that's a ben krach, that's somebody from Yerushalayim who took up residence for the day in Tel Aviv. You could have what we call a paroz liyomo. So what does it all depend on? So this is, I think, just what makes this Mishnah so absolutely fascinating, is it depends on what's going on in your mind. So if you're thinking, okay, I'm from Yerushalayim, got a business, dealing in Tel Aviv, I'm going to be there to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, there's no question about it, you became a resident of Tel Aviv, and vice versa. But what if your idea is, you know, you really want to get back to Yerushalayim for Purim, you really want to get back to Tel Aviv from Purim, wherever you're from. So the halacha is, im dato lachzor, if it's in your das, to get back to your makom, before the kriya happens in the locality where you are, and somehow you get stuck, so then you could read like your original place, like the place that you're from. So we'll detail in a second what exactly this means. Let's just read it inside the Mishnah. So ben ir shahalach lekrach, ben krach shahalach leir, again, somebody who reads on the 14th, somebody from Tel Aviv who went to Yerushalayim, or somebody from Yerushalayim who went to Tel Aviv, im atid lachzor lemekomo, again, im atid lachzor lemekomo, the Rambam interpolates as im dato lachzor lemekomo. You know, you had these intentions. Kore kimekomo, you end up reading like your place. Vim lav, kore imahen. And if not, again, as we said, if your plan is to be there, you know, through the end of Purim, then surely you would become an honorary member of that locality. Again, if you're in Yerushalayim, read like they do in Yerushalayim. If you're in Tel Aviv, read like you're in Tel Aviv. So what does this mean in practice? When do you exactly have in mind to leave from? So let's say you're a Ben Ir, and you went to a walled city. Okay, so they're not going to read till the 15th. So let's say you had in mind that you were going to leave the city on the night of the 15th. That was your basic plan. So the halacha would be that you would be entitled to read by yourself on the 14th, both night and day, okay? Because it's not your plan to stay over for Purim in the walled city. You were going to leave by Alos HaShachar on the 15th. So it's really interesting. You could have said, well, wait a second, why don't you have to leave before the 15th even begins? So this is a very important point, that the Ikar Zman of Purim is actually during the daytime. It's true that we read the Megillah at night. The Balei HaTosfos already say in the beginning of the Masechta and Daf Daled, the reason, according to Tosfos, the Rambam disagrees with this, but the reason, according to Tosfos, we make a Shachianu in the morning, even though we read the Megillah again at night, is the primary reading is really during the daytime. So even though your intention was always to be in Yerushalayim through the night of the 15th, you have the right to read on the 14th, even though you're in Yerushalayim, because you really weren't planning on being there during the primary time of Purim, and vice versa. So let's say you have somebody from Yerushalayim, their natural time is to read the 15th, but they're in Tel Aviv, everybody in Tel Aviv is going to be reading on the 14th. So if they had in mind, I want to get out of Tel Aviv by the night of the 14th. I'm not going to be here during the daytime of the 14th. As long as that was their idea, that they were going to try to get out of there by Alos HaShachar, before the daytime the 14th begins, and somehow they weren't able to get out of there in time, so they're entitled to read on the 15th. They don't have to integrate into the city, because they never had Das to integrate into the city. But again, if they had in mind, oh, I'm only going to leave during the 14th, during the daytime, no. If you're already going to be there, your plan was going to be there during the 14th itself. If that was your intention, the daytime of the 14th, so then you'd have to read with the people on the 14th. So what this establishes is basically two principles. Number one is that we don't follow the nighttime. Even though in halacha, all halachic days really begin at night, we really are looking towards the daytime as the cutoff point. Did you have in mind to be there during the daytime? That's number one, because again, Purim as a day, you know, the mitzvos are done during the day, Mishloach Manos, and the Ikar Kriyas HaMegillah, certainly the Seuda, as the Pasuk says, Yemei Mishta V'Simcha, so we're following the daytime. That's, again, the first and most important point. That's very, very, very significant. And the second thing is that we're paying attention, you know, to what a person is thinking. You could just say, well, you just follow wherever you are no matter what. Or you could have said in the opposite direction, you follow wherever you're from no matter what. So we're not taking either of those extremes. We're looking at what is it that you have in mind exactly? Where are you planning on being? And im da'at halachzer, if your plan was to get out of there, you know, by the night of the 14th, if you're a 15th person, or the opposite direction, so then we're going to take that into account in terms of the proper time to read. So you could end up reading by yourself privately when everybody else is going to be reading on the opposite day, even though you find yourself completely as a fish out of water. John.
So what about all the other mitzvahs of Purim? Do you also go by what your plans were to be at that time?
Right, so that's a... Right, so Mishloach Manos and the Seuda are different than Matanos Levyonim. Matanos Levyonim always seems to go with Mikra Megillah. We covered that, we had that principle a few Mishnayos ago. We said that the Eneim Shalaniim Nesuos LeMikra Megillah. It's a really good question. So when you read the Megillah, so it makes sense to give Matanos Levyonim. But this case would be an exception to that rule, because the Aniim of that locality don't necessarily hear your private Megillah reading. So everything else would theoretically be done, you know, on the primary day when everybody else was doing it. It's a very good question. The Rambam doesn't mention it explicitly, but that's what it seems to be. Okay, one last little addendum in the Mishnah. Where do you have to bring the Megillah from? So we read the entire Megillah, but what's absolutely necessary? So here you have a three-way machlokas. Rabbi Meir Omer Kula. Rabbi Meir says you have to read the entire Megillah. We rule like Rabbi Meir, which is very unusual. The Gemara in Erevin says if you have a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, you always rule like Rabbi Yehuda. If you have a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, you always rule like Rabbi Yossi. Here you have a machlokas between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi. So you figure for sure you don't rule like Rabbi Meir. You actually rule like Rabbi Meir. Okay, so Rabbi Meir says you have to read the entire Megillah, and we assume that position. That means that if a person walks in 5 minutes late, they're in trouble. Because remember we said yesterday, Hakori Lamafreya Lo Yatsa, you can't read it backwards. So, and they didn't hear the entire Megillah. So they got to go back and read the whole Megillah. Okay, so Rabbi Meir says you have to read the whole thing. That's not the only view. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Me'ish Yehudi. He says you have to read from Ish Yehudi. Ish Yehudi, of course, is the story of Mordechai. Rabbi Yehuda was saying that the most important thing in the Megillah, obviously, is the story of Mordechai HaYehudi. So once you get to Ish Yehudi, Hayah B'Shushan HaBirah, that's really when the story begins. What do you need to know? The whole background of Achashverosh and Vashti, whatever it is, like, you know, what happened, happened. And then, you know, there's this person, the Mordechai, that's really where it starts. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi says, Me'achar HaDvarim Ha'ela. Achar HaDvarim Ha'ela is the beginning of the third perek. Gidal HaMelech Achashverosh as Haman. He says, no, what the story is really about is the battle against Amalek. Who cares about the first two chapters? What do you need to know about, again, Vashti, the first chapter, and then the selection of Esther in the second chapter? It's about the battle against Amalek. So it's very interesting to know that they had a reality TV contest and they interviewed all the women from, you know, the empire, but, you know, that's not necessary for the story. The story is Haman wants to destroy all the Jews. Where does that start? That starts in the third chapter. So you don't need to read the first two chapters necessarily. Maybe it's an ideal, but he certainly thinks you would be Yotze. But we don't rule that way. So the question is, why don't we rule that way? So I just wanted to finish with a little bit of a thought. This is, again, to take it or leave it. This is doesn't appear anywhere in the Gemara, in the Rambam, in the Rishonim. But I think it really is like this. We know that the basic principle of Purim is that so much is hidden, right? And it's very, very hard to appreciate that theme if you start just where Haman, you know, appears on the scene. If you don't have all the background that somehow Hashem arranged for Vashti to be removed, and that somehow Hashem arranged for Esther to appear in the most unlikely of ways. And you don't have the background right at the end of the second chapter that somehow Mordechai discovered that there was going to be a coup d'etat against Achashverosh, and, you know, he saves Achashverosh's life, right? That's a pretty important detail later in the story. So you don't see all of the providential, again, it's very hidden. At the time, it doesn't make a very large impression. You don't know how these things are going to play themselves out later, right? And it takes years for these things to play themselves out. The Megillah takes place over many years, but it's very, very important to see sort of the hidden hand of providence, the Yad Hashem, which is Nistar, which is hidden throughout the Megillah. So if you don't have the first two chapters and figure out how Esther got there in the first place, it's very hard to appreciate that great line in the fourth chapter when Mordechai says to Esther, you know, Mi yodeya im leis kazos, he gad l'malchus. How do you know? Maybe it's for this reason that God put you there. If you don't have an appreciation of how she got there in the first place, how unlikely it was that she would have ever appeared there, so then, you know, you're sort of missing out on the one of the main themes. So I think that's sort of the spirit of Rabbi Meir, so that you can appreciate all of the way that this unfolds later on, and that is how we accept l'halacha, which is why it's so important to be on time. When I was first reading the Megillah, I think I was like 15, 16 years old, I was reading the Megillah. There's this lady that came in literally 5 minutes late, and she heard whatever, almost the entire Megillah. And then she said to me afterwards, can you go back and just, you know, fill in the few psukim that I missed at the beginning? And I said, I could, but it wouldn't help. So she looked pretty annoyed. Okay.